Good evening. Send a warm welcome to all of you this evening. And before I welcome brother, I just want to let you know there's a black Toyota Sienna at the back there. The light is on. If it belongs to anybody, you can please turn it off. Black Toyota Sienna. So brother Joy Murungatheri is well known to all of us, and he doesn't really need extensive introduction to you all. He's visiting us again from India. And so he'll be speaking to us till 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. this evening, and then we'll follow that by a time of prayer. And Brother Joy is going to speak to us again on Sunday, so we can hear him again on Sunday for the word ministry. Brother Joy.
Could you please turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 18. The Gospel according to John, chapter 18. Reading from verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciple over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into the which he entered, and his disciple. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciple. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lantern and torches and a weapon. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with him. As soon as then he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he speak of them, which thou gavest me, I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away. Back to the book of Genesis, please. The book of Genesis, chapter 2, and verse number 8 and 10 and 11. The book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse number 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Verse 10, And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted, and it became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison, that is it which compasseth the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. And there is beryllium and the onyx stone. And the gold of that land is good, and that gold take us to the Gospel according to John and bring before us the deity and the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have in the book of Daniel chapter 3, verse number 24, define the fourth person like unto the Son of God. And that brings us to the gospel according to John. And again, we read in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse number 10, the fourth face of an eagle, the lofty height of eagle, leads us to the gospel according to John. And then we see the person of Christ who walked upon the sapphire stone of the sanctuary, the one who dwell in co-equal, eternal existence with the Father, and with whom the Gospel of John commends back in chapter 1, verse number 1. Now from chapter 18, we have a different section. And here we find from chapter 18 until chapter 21, the suffering and the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the first 12 chapters present him as a stranger before the world and before his son. For we read in chapter 1, verse number 10 and 11, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not, for he was a stranger before the world. And verse number 11, he came unto his son received him not. There again, he was a stranger before his son. And what we have in first 12 chapters bring to us a ministry which continued for 3 years. And from chapter 13, we have a ministry which continued just for an evening, the last evening in the life of disciple, having fellowship with the master. And so we find from chapter 13 until chapter 16 an account of council, quite peculiar, and which none of the patriarchs ever knew in the Old Testament. None of the judges ever knew. None of the kings ever knew. None of the prophets ever knew what he revealed. And we have him as the secret revealer unto his son in chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. And chapter 18, verse number 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, what words? Well, what we have in chapter 17, there we behold our Lord at the golden altar in communion with the Father. So in chapter 18, we have a rejected Savior. In chapter 19, we have the redeeming Savior. In chapter 20, we have risen Savior. In chapter 21, we have him as the restoring Savior. We can look at from different angle. In chapter 18, we have the condemned Christ. Chapter 19, crucified Christ. Chapter 20, caring Christ. And chapter 21, coming Christ. Now, when we look at chapter 18 onwards, we have garden. And so we can compare with what we have in the first 3 chapters of Genesis as we begin from chapter 18 until chapter 21. A garden. Unlike synoptics where we have Gethsemane, John has no place for Gethsemane. But here we find garden, pleasant one, attractive, greenery, and relaxing. And so we find here in the Gospel of John an expression which bring to us has no place, or John omit the word Gethsemane, that agony, the suffering, and the falling on his knee and crying and falling his sweat as it drops, as it were, the drops of blood. But we have him standing upright in the Gospel of John, because the very purpose of John to display the deity and the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So here we have rejected Savior in the first session, verse number 1 to 3. And we have the brook of Kidron, the Kidron. And we read long ago of this brook of Kidron, and where we find King David rejected. And here is the one who is greater than David is rejected. And we have its mention in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 15. And we have in verse number 16 and 17 twice an expression like unto what we have here. He went forth. David went forth. And so here, twice in verse number 1, he went forth. Verse number 1, he went forth. And so here we find our Lord is rejected. And we have him in the garden. And Judas knew where he can be found. And we have him coming unto him with the soldiers and with the torch and the weapon and lantern. Before whom the one who is personified as the light of the world. And so we have people coming unto him with the lantern and torch and a weapon. And we see here the Savior rejected, and then the light shineth in darkness. As we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse number 5, chapter 9, verse number 4, the one who is the light of the world. And from verse number 4 until verse number 7, Shekinah glory outshine before Judas and the soldiers. The light shineth in darkness. And so we have in verse number 4 an expression peculiar to the gospel according to John. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things. And we read such expression 14 times in the gospel of John. Quite peculiar to the gospel according to John. And that bring before us our Lord who is omniscient. The one who is omniscient and the one who is omnipotent. Unlike the gospel synoptics where we read of him as the son of Abraham, son of David, son of Adam and so on. But here, God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so we commence with the God, and the one who is God is none other but omnipotent and omniscient. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things. Young people, Bible student, and when you study God's word, underline the frequent mention of such expression which carry volume of message for us. Jesus, therefore, knowing that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? And so they answered, Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, we know this title, quite familiar to us, which speaks of his incorruptible humanity in totality that he led upon the face of this earth. And again, this title speaks of humility and the place Nazareth. Nazareth is not any significant place, hardly anything, and very poor and corrupted place, and was known for immorality and whatnot, and a place, hardly anything, where he was brought up and spent almost 30 years, Jesus of Nazareth. But at the same time, this title carry or display the deity of the person of Christ. When he then they asked Jesus of Nazareth, he said, I am he. And if you look at the mention of this title, Jesus of Nazareth, we have, for example, in chapter 1 of Mark Gospel, that we have the demon-possessed man who said, Jesus of Nazareth, I know that thou art Holy One of God. It carries the deity of the person of Christ. And if you remember, in chapter 16 of Mark Gospel, he was known in glory as Jesus of Nazareth, the man in glory. After his resurrection, the angel appeared unto the woman, and the angel said, Jesus, you seek Jesus of Nazareth. And again, you have in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, chapter 3, and chapter 9, where he was outshined before Saul of Tarsus, and he fell. And there it is mentioned Jesus, but it is amplified for us in chapter 22 of Acts of the Apostle, verse number 6, where Paul the Apostle gave us the testimony, and where he mentioned Jesus of Nazareth, whom I met while I was on the way to Damascus. And we find the glory outshined by that title, and he fell. Jesus of Nazareth. Time did not permit me to expound all the mention of it, but you look for your meditation, and there is a great account of truth you can find. And he said, I am he. I am he. I am he. Three times. What a contrast when you read from verse number 15 onwards, three times, Peter says, I am not. I am not. I am not. Where at the fire of call in chapter 18, verse number 18, a place of rejection. In contrast, in chapter 21 and verse number 9, you have another fire of calls, which speaks to us the place of reception, where we have him and the rest of the disciples on the shore, restored in fellowship and being warmed in the presence of the Lord. But in contrast here, a wrong fire of the wrong place, a fire of call, bring before us the place of rejection, and he says, I am not. But our Lord went forth, and in the Garden of Eden, chapter 3 of Genesis, you find when the Lord asked Adam, where art thou? And we find the first man was hiding. In contrast, second man in the garden went forth, and here we have Peter who denied, and he said, I am not, and the Lord said, I am he. I am he. Now, I am he. I am. That again, that title, I am, quite peculiar to the gospel according to John. That takes us back to the book of Exodus, chapter 3, and verse number 14. And there we read, I am, that I am. And then we read a single I am, and the title of Jehovah. What is ascribed to Jehovah in the Old Testament is what is given to the God of the New Testament. And that title bring before us the revelation of unveiling of his glory. Shekinah glory is what is outshined by that title I am. And that title bring before us the meaning, I that ever will be and continue to will be and will be, does mean ever existing one. Take us to the book of Revelation chapter 1, verse number 4, verse number 8, which was and which is and which is to come. And so when we look at grammatically, we find the one who was always in existence, one who is always in existence, one who will be always in existence. And we have here a God who is from eternity to eternity, ever existing person, none other but God himself. And the title outshined his Shekinah glory. And we have him standing upright, but we have them falling backward in fulfillment of Psalm number 40, verse number 14, and Psalm number 27, and verse number 2. The fulfillment. And then we progress, and we have Savior rejected, Shekinah revealed, and then Shepherd's care. Shepherd's care. And that is what you have from verse number 8 onwards until verse number 10. Well, when he answered, I told you that I am he. If therefore you seek me, let this go their way. How mindful he is for his own, even in this crucial time. In this crucial time. And so here we have the fulfillment of chapter 17 and verse number 12. None of them lost. I kept them. Those whom Father hath given me Well, I have kept them, none of them is lost. And so he is mindful for his son. Let these go their way. Well, who can take those whom Father hath given to him? Who are kept in his heart? Who are kept in his hand? Who are kept at his feet? Who are kept in his bosom? Who are kept in the clefts of the rock? Who are kept in his everlasting arm? You find them in the scripture. You have them in the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, verse number 11, chapter 49, verse number 16, Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verse number 6, Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 14, Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse number 27, and we have Luke, chapter 8, verse number 35. What a security. No weapon that is formed against the anointed shall prosper. Even at this point of time, they are kept safe and sound. Shepherds care. And then we find submissive son in verse number 12. Well, he was bound. When you read a person who is bound the first time in the scripture, we have in the book of Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 9. Isaac was born. And here we have the son of his love is born, the Lord of glory, born and led away. Submissive son, taking up the cup. We have his cup here in chapter 4. We have his meat. And so occupied with father's business, right at the age of 12. And here we have him, the last evening. Where is he? In the next evening. In the tomb. And so, God willing, on the Lord's day, we shall see our Lord on the cross, in chapter 19, redeeming Savior. Precious thoughts, all about the person of Christ. It'll be more better on the Lord's Day because we come to the foot of the cross. May the Lord keep us near the cross, there the precious fountain. May the Lord bless these words to your heart. Within 5 minutes, quickly I'll show you the progress of the work and what is going on in India and in South Africa and in Australia. And no commentary, just a few pictures which will make you understand how we develop children and young people without Bible school and Bible college within the assembly. And we have them going on actively in the respective local assemblies. And we don't lose those young people. And we have great burden for next generation, thus building them and work among the aged. And that we visit and take care sometime, literally taking them to hospital, looking after, building assembly hall and fellowship with the workers who are not generally known around the world and neither in an existing fund, and we associate with them. And then building library for young people. We communicate to people who are educated and who are from uni, and so we put before them sufficient resources. And thus you find the way the work is progressing, not we, as we read in chapter 16 of Mark Gospel, the Lord went on working with them. And so here we are.